Dagestan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've got Governor Greg Gianforte on the phone lines. In fact, I called the governor during the break to get him on the show, and he answered it by saying, Bobcat headquarters, Governor, how you doing? You got to still just be on a high after that Monday night victory, huh?
How about them, Cap?
It was incredible.
It was incredible. I mean, I think I lost a couple of years off my life with the nail biting at the end, but just hats off to the whole Bobcat team for getting her done.
I've got Dean Laram here with me, the Shelby football coach. Yeah, Dean, you were telling me earlier, you literally drank the bars out of beer in Nashville. Well, not you, but collectively, the Montana fans. And there were paramedics called because of the heart attack, Cats.
I might have helped out a little bit with the beer consumption, just a little bit. But, yeah, as we were walking out, I saw some paramedics carrying two people that ran down to the field. And I kind of asked them, and they said, yeah, their hearts got going too well. But I know, unlike the governor, I think a couple of years of my life got shaved off.
Well, Governor, well, first off, anything else you want to talk about before we get to the news of the day? I know, with all of this fraud going on in the state of Minnesota, we know that's just the tip of the iceberg when you get to California and some of these other states. Recently, I was having a great conversation with James Brown, Montana State Auditor, and he was talking about, hey, here's what part of what he's doing at the state auditor's office to prevent this fraud from taking place. And got a great note from you and your team. Hey, we want to talk about what we're doing at the state also to crack down on this fraud. So we appreciate you being with us.
Well, it's an embarrassment. It's awful what's going on in Minnesota. This is just Democrat leadership being asleep at the wheel. Fortunately, in Montana, we have good protections in place. This is something I monitor every single month. I get a report from DPHHS on all of our social welfare programs. And let me be clear, Aaron, we need these programs as a social safety net for Montanans that hit a rough patch, but they should be a trampoline that help people get back to self-sufficiency, not a hammock you climb into and stay in for the rest of your life. And we have to be particularly vigilant to make sure that only people that are qualified are in these programs. So we track Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, CHIP, TANF, all these programs. And I have good news. We went through and requalified everybody on Medicaid, and that enrollment, because of the success we've had in the economy, we're one of only two states in the country where wage growth has exceeded inflation over the last 5 years. We have tens of thousands of people that are no longer on these social welfare programs. In fact, as I look at the numbers in front of me, and I have the latest ones right here in a chart, we've been having a downtrend in total enrollment across all these programs. The decrease since I came into office, or the peak right after the pandemic, is anywhere from 20% reduction to almost 40% reduction.
With cloudiness and some breaks of sun around the area for today, high temperature readings will stay in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, temperatures dropping off in the mid-20s to around 30. And then as we kick off into the weekend on Saturday, we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies, lower 40s in Bozeman, 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Flu cases in the U.S. hitting their highest levels since the late 90s as a new super variant continues to spread around the country. The CDC estimating more than 11 million cases so far this flu season, some 30 states in the top tier for flu activity. The agency says flu cases increased by 33% Christmas week between December 20th and December 27th. The flu putting about 120,000 people in the hospital so far, already killing about 5,000. Doctors say many of the cases are linked to a highly contagious strain called subclade K, which was not part of this year's flu shot. The CDC says the number of people getting a flu shot is in line with previous years. In the most recent data released before mid-December, health officials say about 40% of Americans had a flu shot. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The new year.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're one of only two states in the country where wage growth has exceeded inflation over the last 5 years. We have tens of thousands of people that are no longer on these social welfare programs. In fact, as I look at the numbers in front of me, and I have the latest ones right here in a chart, we've been having a downtrend in total enrollment across all these programs. The decrease since I came into office, or the peak right after the pandemic, is anywhere from 20% reduction to almost 40% reduction in enrollment. And what that means is Montanans are succeeding. We want to bring the American dream into closer reach. And it's because of the work of the folks at PPHHS. These programs are available to people that need them, but not being taken advantage of in some scheme or illegal fraud like we've seen in Minnesota.
You know, Governor, you're reminding me, Christmas Eve, I did, you know, a show for Christmas Eve, a live show with a couple of great guests, and you know, it was a Christmas Eve show, so we were just going to be featuring a couple good organizations helping out kids in the foster programs, etc. But it was actually very newsworthy. We broke some news that day because one of the gentlemen who joined us helps kids in the foster care system. He says that in these last few years, because Montana's always historically had the highest number of kids, even per capita, in foster care programs. And without getting into the reasons for that, what he said is the good news is that number has dramatically gone down in these last few years. So whether you talk about tackling fraud in preventing fraud in the systems, the fraud like we're seeing in Minnesota right now, that is something that I think is a huge accomplishment.
Oh, Aaron, you know, every child deserves to be in a permanent, loving home. And unfortunately, some parents, they kind of come off the track sometimes, whether it's addiction or whatever the situation is. This is something we went to work on. This is why we created the Office of Faith and Community Service at DPHHS, too. Because let's face it, the state is not a very good parent. And yet we find ourselves in situations where we have to take custody of children, put them in the foster care system. We can't be the parents they deserve. And so what we've done is we've partnered with faith-based nonprofits across the state that recruit adoptive parents and then support adoptive parents. We passed a adoption tax credit. So if families are willing to open up their home to one of these kiddos in the foster care system, they get a $7,500 refundable tax credit if they adopt out of the foster care system. We enhance the services we provide for biological parents because the best scenario is the kids go back to their parents. And since I took office, we've seen a 45% reduction in the number of kids in foster care. That's a victory.
That's huge.
And it's going to produce better results for those kids.
That's huge. Yeah, I had to bring that up because I was thinking about that is remarkable. And by the way, it was Aaron Schofield here with Rooted Families. And thanks to Denise Saprinsky, by the way, with the Gianforte Family Foundation, who lined up that conversation. It was just incredibly insightful. Dean Larum here with me as we chat with Governor Gianforte. You know, earlier, and by the way, there's extra audio on the Montana Talks app for later because we caught up with some folks earlier this morning as well. But earlier, we caught up with Kim Winchell, who's the former mayor at Cut Bank, and she's affiliated here with the community health folks. You got Logan Health has a clinic here. So rural health care is so critical to these small communities like Shelby and Cut Bank especially.
Well, you know, you talk about that. They need to be destinations. They need not to be just a Band-Aid to take to bigger facilities. And And as a guy who lives 40 miles away, you want to have good rural service. And I think we're headed the right direction.
And Governor, on that front, I know President Trump recently, you know, thanks to the, I think the One Big Beautiful Bill, had a big rural health care initiative in that. And I think Montana ended up, because of our DPHS, your efforts, our DPHS efforts, we came out better than even some bigger states, thanks to that work in the process, right?
We got almost as much money as California did, even though we're much smaller. We are rural. There were two pieces to it. The Big Beautiful Bill allocated a certain amount of money to each state that submitted an application, and we did. But then half the money was a jump ball, and you had to compete for it. And DPHHS did a great job. They went out, did stakeholder meetings, met with rural communities, put a proposal together, and we ended up getting the fourth largest allocation in the entire country, $233 million from the Trump administration to enhance rural health care. And I will tell you, whenever we get federal money, it comes with some concern, because we don't want to plant acorns that grow into mighty oaks, and then the burden of watering, feeding, and trimming those oaks falls on Montanans. So our proposal, in line with everything we did with ARPA and the prior federal grants, is about building rural health care capacity from where we are today to a higher level that, and here's the key thing, that is sustainable with existing resources. So that's what it's going to do. And I'm excited to get this rolled out. It was a really short fuse. We had to turn this around in 90 days. The Trump administration turned it around very, very quickly, and really pleased to see $233 million from the Big Beautiful Bill going into rural Montana so that people can get health care in their local community.
Yeah, and that's big. I like what you said, too, because you almost have to treat this as if it were one-time funds instead of baking in a long-term big budget that you can't sustain over the long haul. Governor Greg Gianforte, greatly appreciate your time this morning. We'll have to have you back on for more time here in the near future. But about 30 seconds before the break, I'm in Cut Bank today, I'm in Malta tomorrow. What does this infusion of rural health support mean for a Cut Bank in a Malta, for example?
Well, you know, I know Sherry well up there at the hospital in Cut Bank. I saw her the other night at the chamber. You need local health care in our rural communities for people to live in those communities. People want to age in place. They need to be able to get health care in their communities.
With the Speaker's lobby, President Trump recently issued the first veto of his second term. He vetoed a bipartisan bill to fund a Colorado water project because he views it as a waste of taxpayer money, saying residents are leaving the state under Democratic Colorado Governor Jared Polis. The measure is the Finish the Arkansas Valley Conduit Act. It would have helped complete a pipeline project to deliver clean drinking water to rural communities in southeastern Colorado. This is a part of the country where support for the president runs deep. Both the House and Senate passed the bill unanimously. President Trump has feuded with Jared Polis over Tina Peters. She's a former Colorado County clerk, serving a 9-year sentence after she was convicted of state charges for allowing unauthorized access to voting machines. Peters spread conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. The president cannot pardon Peters because the state of Colorado convicted her, not the federal government. The veto also set off GOP Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert, saying the veto was a mistake. With the Speaker's lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, the American Sheep Industry Association has officially asked the U.S. Trade Representative's office to investigate the impact of lamb imports on U.S. producers. ASI President and Montana producer Ben LaFelt says that the U.S. sheep industry faces increasing pressure from imported lamb, which threatens the stability and future of domestic sheep producers.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been monitoring this for a long time, over the last, you know, really 30 years, kind of what our imports are, what producers have to face on a regular basis, what opportunities we can give those producers. We really haven't had the data. We've done some preliminary studies along the way that really haven't shown us that injury, but that's the difference right now. We were able to get data from our meat companies, feel close to 40% data to do a preliminary study if there was injury attributed to imports. We know they've rose. We know we can see the numbers. We know our demand's raised, but this is hard data. We're delivering to the ITC, the trade representatives. And showing them that we have this preliminary data that shows the effect of imports on our domestic sheep and wool industry. That's what we're taking forward on behalf of the producers.
Now to address this, ASI is working diligently to secure a Section 201 trade case investigation, a vital step, they say, toward leveling the playing field for U.S. producers. ASI is asking sheep producers to contact elected officials and their trade staff, urging them to sign the Dear Colleague letter to support the Section 201 investigation into imported lamb. However, those signatures must be received by the close of business today, January 9th. For more information, you can jump online and visit sheepusa.org. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, save the date for January 15th. The Ingalls Angus production sale is at Riverton Livestock, Riverton, Wyoming, starting at 1 o'clock p.m. This historic Angus herd was established in 1894, seven generations and 130 years of registered Angus. Over 100 yearlings, as well as two-year-old Angus bull sell, along with 25 bred females. For more details, call Jasper Ingalls at 307-349-3097 or view the catalog videos and bid online at dvauction.com.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, hey, it looks like a new USDA ARS Soft Spring Durham wheat being released as USDA Morris in honor of the late ARS scientist Dr. Craig Morris, who spearheaded Soft Durham research, represents a new variety of Soft Spring Durham wheat that not only grows well in harsh environments typical of Durham wheat, but also features some novel in-use traits that allow it to be milled conventionally, producing flour instead of the more coarse semolina. Of course, expanding the in-use market for Durham wheat can bring more efficiency and agricultural prosperity to U.S. farmers. Just another great example of some of that exciting research going on at USDA ARS, as well as those land-grant universities across America. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you know, I'm on the road for most of this week. We were Helena yesterday, Cutbank today, Malta tomorrow. But so we're going to have a number of great guests that are joining us in all these locations. But we still want to get to the big news of the day as well. So it's great to sneak in a relatively quick phone call in here from U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Senator, great to have you on the show. I'm here with by the way, right after you, I've got some great MSU Extension agents with us. So a number of raspy-voiced potential folks who were cheering pretty loudly. You were actually at the game on Monday night. You know, you grew your business and raising your family in the Bozeman area. What was it like being at the game first before we get to the big news?
It was incredible. I mean, look, I think whether you're a Cat or a Grizz fan, I think we all want a Montana team to win on the national stage. And, I mean, that was a game for the history books. And being a Naval Academy grad, Army-Navy game is my most important game of the year, but man, this game was just a nail biter all the way to the end. I mean, everyone across the country is watching that game, so it was incredible. It was made me super proud. At times, the Bobcats, I think, were trying to give us a run for our money with some pretty funny plays, and obviously getting it tied up at the end. But man, it was a win for the ages, and it was electric to be in that stadium when we pulled off the W.
Yeah, when I get back to Dean Larum, who's the Shelby football coach, he was at the game. We've got a funny story to talk about on the, well, not so funny maybe, to talk about on that front here in a few minutes. But, you know, Evan Inbelt, who's an Air Force veteran, I thought he had the best summary of the news this week. He said that special teams came in for the win. Special teams came in for the win, blocking those kicks for the national championship football game. But what about the special teams from our United States military and the takedown of narco-terrorist dictator Nicolai Maduro?
Oh, that was an incredible mission, Aaron. And you know, I think any of us from the special ops community would have donated any non-vital organ to be on that mission, because that was one that's just historic. And, you know, all of us did a lot of great operations in Iraq, Afghanistan. I had one deployment to South America myself, but that mission was just such an epic epic coordination of all assets that we had. And, you know, a lot of it's out there in the public. A lot of it's still classified. What I can tell everybody is you know, the level of coordination and professionalism it took, it was a tough mission. This wasn't, I did some snatch and grabs in my time where luckily we got in and out without, but this was a gunfight from start to finish. It was an air-to-ground fight, and these guys, from the time their boots hit the ground to the time they were out of there, I mean, they were in a running gunfight. We took no killed, a couple of casualties, and wounded, nothing serious. And we carried out one of the greatest special operations missions in history.
That certainly seems to be the case, and freedom is on the march across Latin America, South America, et cetera, Argentina, Chile, Bolivia. Now this, what could happen next? Could it be Iran? Could it be Cuba? But from a Montana First perspective, this matters to Montana. I mean, Shelby is right down the road from us right now. They had Tren de Aragua suspects arrested, illegal aliens from Venezuela that were being... That certainly seems to be the case, and freedom is on the march across Latin America, South America, etc., Argentina, Chile, Bolivia. Now this, what could happen next? Could it be Iran? Could it be Cuba? But from a Montana First perspective, this matters to Montana. I mean, Shelby is right down the road from us right now. They had Tren de Aragua suspects arrested, illegal aliens from Venezuela that were being harbored in Shelby, Montana.
100%. I mean, TEA, it has been, and all, frankly, tentacles of the Venezuelan regime have been incredibly destabilizing and damaging to America for the last 20 years. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans have been killed by the fentanyl drugs and the violence brought to us by these Venezuelan actors. And these weren't accidental criminal groups that happened to show up here. This was intentional destabilization by the Chavez and subsequent Maduro regimes. And in addition to that, Aaron, what Venezuela did and how it positioned itself as a money launderer for all the rogue regimes and terrorist groups around the world, from Hamas to Hezbollah to Houthi rebels to Russia to China, this literally was a giant gaping sore of evil just south of us, and tens of thousands, about hundreds of thousands of American lives have been taken by that regime. So for folks that are wondering why we're getting involved in these, when they say, man, Trump was, you know, non-interventionist, America First, there's nothing more America First than going after and killing the people who are killing our people. Kill them first before our people get killed. And we've stood by for far too long and let American citizens and American communities be torn apart by these Venezuelan terror groups. It's about time we nip it in the bud, and that's exactly what we did.
Well, I know a number of people are also asking what's next, because, you know, nobody wants to see a Iraqi-style coalition provisional authority or something like that, right?
Yeah, of course, and I think... rightfully so, Americans have a level of skepticism about our ability to go in and nation build. And listen, no, Aaron, no one more than you and I knows that. We served there. We're boots on the ground during those eras, and there were absolutely tremendous amount of mistakes made and blood, sweat, and treasure lost as a result. But this is nothing like that. But we have not swept an entire regime and then taken over the country. We've seized an indicted criminal, a bipartisan indicted criminal, by the way, something that we and other nations around the world have done for years, from Manuel Noriega in Panama to the personnel indicted for war crimes in the 1990s, as we seized leadership of Eastern European countries who were committing genocide across their nations. This has been a targeted capture of a criminal. His government is still in place with very serious guardrails from our government. The quarantine is still in place to restrict the ability to sell oil and finance drug cartels and illicit regimes. And we're going to put guardrails around that government until such time as elections can be held. As you know, last year, or just in 2024, they did hold elections and elected a new government, which was then promptly exiled by Maduro. So there's going to be an orderly transition of power here. Venezuela is not Iraq. It's not Afghanistan. These are very different nations with different power structures in place. Venezuela does have an amazing plethora of natural resources. They actually do have fundamentals, they have an amazing economy like they used to. There was a time when Venezuela was one of the greatest economies in the world, and of course the socialist dictators drove it into the ground. So I think what we've seen here from the Iranian strikes
over or July.
Donald Trump's America.
The food pyramid is getting a makeover. A new federal dietary guideline is prioritizing protein found in meats and ending what HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. calls the war on saturated fat.
Protein and healthy fats are essential, and were wrongly discouraged in prior dietary guidelines.
The guidelines say Americans should avoid highly processed foods, prepackaged with additives and sugar.
As Secretary of Health and Human Services, my message is clear: eat real food.
The real food could come with a steeper price, but Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says these new guidelines will change that.
The challenge comes is the access to those healthy foods, especially in parts of America where they have food deserts.
She says retailers taking part in federal nutrition programs will face new requirements to stock shelves with healthier options. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Absolutely remarkable. Senator Tim Sheehy, yeah, great to hear from you this morning. I know I'm busy today in Cut Bank. We got a number of great guests, but we got to get you back on the show maybe as early as next week so we can talk at more length, sneak some phone calls in as well. Always great to get your insight. Thanks so much for joining us here this morning.
Thanks, John. Do I stay up there?
Say
I want to
hide it
for me on the high line.
Well, you got it for sure. Yeah, greatly appreciated. Back to it here. Dean Lamb, we were talking about the game, and, he was talking about how exciting it was to be there. And let's see. One of my good friends, she actually married a kid from Sunburst, my friend Dustin Frost. His wife, Stacy, calls them the Heart Attack Cats because she's a cat fan. They're actually paramedics that got called on the field after that game.
After the game, we were leaving and we saw two people getting carted off that were out of the field. And, you know, me, I always have to ask what the heck's going on. And I went to the paramedic and he goes, heart attacks. That's what they had, minor heart attacks. They looked, they stabilized in there. But I didn't want my heart. My heart was pounding there. And I thought at the age, I shouldn't be climbing down on the field either.
It's like, it's literally no joke. They were the heart attack cats, not just figuratively, but literally for some people in Nashville. Yeah, crazy. Well, now we've got a couple of other great guests that are joining us here this morning as well. Always fun to run into Kim Woodring, right? Did I say your last name right? Okay, good. Yes, because she is the Toole County Extension Agent for MSU Extension, and when we had all the extension agents, they did a big national convention in Montana recently, and so she popped in. But you went to Montana State University with my cool cowboy cousins and cowgirl cousin, I should add. And so I know you were having a good time on Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Nashville was crazy. Everywhere you went, there were Bobcat fans, and I think just the vibes of being downtown and being close to the stadium there was incredible. Like, Frisco was cool, but Nashville was awesome.
Yeah, Nashville, what a great music town, live music and more. So she's the Toole County Extension Agent. We've also got Carrie Lewis, who is the Glacier County Extension Agent. And Carrie, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, since we're in your county right now, we're close to Toole County, but we're in Glacier County. Give us kind of, with about 1 minute before the next break, give us the scene setter for what is ag in Glacier County.
Ag is pretty much the foundation of Glacier County, of course, along with oil and gas and education as well, but a lot of wheat, barley, pulse crops, cattle, dry land, hay production. It's a pretty tough climate, but it's a great place to take that short grass prairie and turn it into high-quality protein for the American consumer. So.
You know, you mentioned oil and gas, and yeah, as I was on the Valier Road heading north into Cut Bank, and right when you get up on top of the hill, you can see the oil wells right there. I remember when I was a little kid driving through, you know, maybe heading up to Lethbridge or something, there's a time you wouldn't see those oil wells pumping. They were pumping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you talk about Sunburst and the Frost family and Sunburst Refiners right there. So that's the mascot.
Yeah, Yeah, of course, his dad, Rod, a lot of folks here know Rod Frost. What a great guy he is as well. Okay, quick break. We're going to talk more ag. And Dean Larum, definitely jump in on this conversation as well, because Dean Larum's here sidekicking with us, and he is the vice president also of the Marias River Livestock Association. Hey, Dean Larum, why don't you kick off the next conversation here? I know we only got a few minutes left here this hour of the show, but, you know, you're in agriculture. You live up here. You're the vice president of the Livestock Association up here. What question or topic would you bring up for our extension agent folks here?
You talk about agriculture. You know, we're always talking about the next year's crop. And I think from the association, Western Livestock Association, we always say our best crop is our young people. That's the people, and these extension agents, Kim and Kerry, they are the greatest. And I've had work with them through 4-H and stuff. But they're put on a conference, a statewide conference called the Next Generation. So Kim, will take it right to you right now. How many years has this Next Generation been?
Oh gosh, Kerry would answer that question for me.
Yeah, I think 2014 was the first year, so we're probably 12, 13 years in. So.
Yeah, when you talk about this next generation, this isn't just a bunch of locals. You got people from Glendive all the way from Miles City coming over here. Just talk a little bit about how you guys came up with this idea.
You know, it's been, of course, over 12, 13 years ago. And so some folks before us, but really a collaboration between Marias River Livestock Association and MSU Extension, Farm Service Agency, different lenders of how do we keep the next generation in business? How 10, 20, 30 years down the road we make sure that we have farmers and ranchers that are profitable. The lifestyle in farming and ranching is great, but you don't pay bills with lifestyle. You pay bills with profit. So how do we help make these folks profitable, and how do we help that succession process so that people can have the conversations of how do we bring the next generation back? How do we navigate all of that estate planning as well?
And when you talk about succession planning, estates, we've changed some different tax laws, number one. Number two, but talk about that's the worst conversation that you can have at a ranch right now is how are we going to pass on the next generation?
Certainly. And there's so many things that aren't said, they aren't written down, and that can cause so many difficulties down the road. Probably everybody can think of a neighbor or a family member where that process didn't go well. And so every year, this just seems like a great opportunity to get it in front of people. It's a lot easier to bring grandma and grandpa to a conference and have them sit in it, then try to start the conversation yourself at Thanksgiving. So it's just a really good opportunity to bring the whole family.
And you guys start with some basic bookkeeping. There's some classes like that. But then you go to some high-tech stuff, Kim. You got someone coming in with some fencing where you don't have to actually put a fence up.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about the Next Generation Conference is that we get to showcase a lot of the cool things that our friends are doing around the state. Our friend Tyrell Obrecht out of the Turner area is bringing his virtual fencing that he does on his operation, and he'll communicate that with our audience. And I think that's a really great way to show them that don't be afraid of technology. Like, you can use it on your operation too.
Well, I told my kids at my place, technology, this is Dean Larum's here, 2026. And they all looked at me and they go, you still have a bag phone probably.
Are they trying to work dad out of a job? Is that what the technology
is? I've been trying to look for that for a long time, Aaron, but it is good for someone like me. I'm called an old dog, but you see a lot of people, there's a lot of gray hair at this Next Generation Conference.
Yeah, we call it the Next Generation Conference, but it really is like your grandpa's, grandma's, and you can bring your kids. There's a daycare service. Like Kerry said, bring the whole family.
Well, I love what Kerry had to say there, too, about, turning over. Because if we're going to keep these family farms and ranches in operation, you got to figure out a way to turn it over to the next generation. And that can break down into anger and chaos and rip apart families. So it's kind of like the St. Mary's Water Project. We waited until the whole thing failed to finally fix it, even though, don't wait for something to fail to then focus on a fix, because it may not end well. So this sounds like a really good way to get that conversation going and get a plan going, and not just keep your family farm or ranch together, but keep your family together afterwards as well.
Yeah. So when are the dates, and can you still register?
Absolutely. So it's Saturday, January 31st at the Shelby High School. And, most of these conferences in Montana, you have to go to Bozeman or Billings or some big city. And so we really said, how do we make this work in north central Montana so that folks can go feed cows and still come? So we start off about 8:30 in the morning. And just a one-day event. All the meals are provided. Like Kim said, we have on-site daycare. It's just $25 a person or $45 for two people, which is phenomenal. For all the information you get, we have accountants, we have lawyers, we have all sorts of professionals that if you want to go sit in their office, it's
right here. It's coming to you. All right, we got to hold it right there. Quick break. Back with Montana Talk after this.
Montana, working on bringing young people into the industry, partnering with the Contractors Association. Been working with the Chamber over the last couple of years in a cultivating careers program where we're focused on the ag side of the world, talking to kids about how machines, technology, drones are coming into agriculture and getting some interest there. In that process, I became a member of the Governor's State Workforce Innovation Board, and in July became the chair. And so when the governor released his new 406 jobs program this summer, he tasked us pretty heavily at the SWIB to drive that effort. And, you know, 406, pretty nice play on our area code, but stands for four pathways to work. Now, you know, college, career, military, and entrepreneurship. Zero barriers to employment. How do we help Montana kids and Montana folks find great jobs? And focusing on six really high demand sectors, the construction trades being one of them, healthcare, advanced manufacturing, recreation, hospitality, but really trying to focus all the agencies of the state, both at the education systems, at the state agencies, and the industry sectors of how do we solve these workforce issues.
Well, and because a lot of these jobs could be six-figure jobs for kids right out of high school if they've got the right training. The thing that stood out to me, I was trying to pull up the story from my Montana Talks website after we had Mike Rowe on the show, because Mike Rowe was in this room with, 30, 35 big-time CEOs, and I think President Trump was there at the time as well. And one of the CEOs asked him, he said, Mike, you know, I've got all these jobs that need to be filled. They're six-figure jobs. They're good jobs. He says, where do I find these workers? And he said, they're in the eighth grade. That's where he said those workers are.
That's right. You got to start earlier. The days where you could just open a job fair or find a person to fill a job, those days are really long gone. And you've got to really start focusing at a much younger age on these career opportunities. You know, and I think society in the United States, we do a great job of creating doctors and lawyers and accountants. We've got that process really well dialed in.
Network of people. Stoking the grievance industry that they built. 124, National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, a fixture in left-wing protests. They announced an emergency rally in New York City's Foley Square at 244. Refuse Fascism, a socialist organization, active in protests against Israel and the Trump administration. It posted a message on Instagram decrying the incident. From Venezuela to the streets of Minneapolis, the Trump regime murders and demonizes whole peoples and countries without any pretense of the rule of law.
Join Sean later today right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
Crime rates sadly are increasing this time of year with more hours of darkness. Now, you don't have to worry about becoming a crime statistic if you prepare and train for your personal safety and protection for you and your loved ones. Look, if you have not already made personal safety and your plan for 2026, now is the time to look at Sig Sauer, the brand our military trusts, the brand I trust. They have a 270-year history of precision, craftsmanship, quality, reliability, and the Sig Sauer P365. It's the most popular, it's the best-selling concealed carry pistol on the market today. I carry one every day. Just go to SigSauer.com/Hannity. You'll get a dealer list where you live and where you can try one out for yourself. And I can tell you firsthand, the P365, it's comfortable, it's easy to carry, easy to shoot. It's an amazing firearm. Take control of your personal and family safety for 2026. Go to SigSauer.com/Hannity for a discount offer for you, my listeners, and then find the dealer near you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some breaks of sun around the area for today, high temperature readings will stay in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, temperatures dropping off in the mid-20s to around 30. And then as we kick off into the weekend on Saturday, we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies, lower 40s in Bozeman, 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Man, if you guys missed Tuesday's Montana Talks, we were live from the Montana Chamber's Business Days at the Capitol event. We also had Senator Steve Daines join us from the U.S. Capitol in Washington. Back in Helena, I caught up with a minister from the Alberta government in Canada. We had a gun business that operates in both Alberta and Montana. We had Democrat and Republican lawmakers, a bunch of great business guests, and much more. Check it out on the Montana Talks app. Just click the on-demand button.
What if it's morning in Montana? This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslocky.
Here we are, just 1 week into the new year, and already we have good news to report. Last fall, we reported on a potential ballot initiative that would have silenced conservative voices like the Montana Family Foundation during election cycles while allowing left-leaning unions and the media to continue promoting the candidates of their choice. This week, the Montana Supreme Court unanimously ruled that the ballot initiative is legally insufficient because it violates Montana's separate vote principle, which prohibits multiple issues from appearing in a single initiative. This is exactly the flaw identified by Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker when he first read the proposal. According to him, it's classic log rolling, the inclusion of multiple issues in a single ballot initiative. This was the point argued by Attorney General Austin Knutson and fleshed out by Supreme Court Justice Jim Rice in his majority opinion. According to Justice Rice, voters were being asked to choose whether to limit the rights of corporations and to choose whether to limit corporate powers to engage in activities other than election and ballot issue activities in significant but unspecified ways. The purpose of the initiative, according to the sponsors, was to undo the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the case of Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, a decision lauded by conservatives and spurned by liberals. The proponents said their goal was to eliminate so-called dark money from politics, but as we said in an August 15th broadcast, the real effect would silence conservatives while allowing liberal organizations and the liberal media to speak freely. We said in that broadcast that one only needed to look at the four main sponsors of the initiative to know the real intent. The first sponsor was Jeff Mangan, the former Montana Commissioner of Political Practices, a Democrat appointed by former Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, who also served in the Montana House of Representatives. The second is Steve Bullock himself. This is where it gets interesting. Governor Bullock spent much of his political career railing against dark money in politics while at the same time benefiting from dark money when he ran for office. In an ironic twist, or maybe just an incredible display of hypocrisy, Governor Bullock went to work for American Bridge when he left office. For those who may not know, American Bridge is one of the largest purveyors of dark money in American politics, and one of their largest donors is none other than George Soros. So much for Governor Bullock's dedication to eliminating dark money from politics. The third major sponsor is former Republican Governor Mark Roscoe, and the word former applies to both aspects of that title. He's no longer governor, and many would argue that he's no longer a Republican, having been stripped of that title by the state Republican Party back in 2023. He now spends his time speaking at Democratic Party events and endorsing Democrat candidates. In fact, he endorsed Joe Biden for president not once, but twice. He also supported an attempt to bring ranked choice voting to Montana, the same election scheme largely responsible for helping communist Zoran Mamdani to win the New York mayoral election. The final large supporter of the initiative is former U.S. Senator John Tester, another vocal opponent of dark money who benefited from millions in dark money every time he ran for office. This win at the Montana Supreme Court does not mean that the fight is over. The proponents may simply reintroduce the proposal with different wording that leads to the same outcome. We'll stay on top of the issue because, as Thomas Jefferson once said, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslocky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Well, and because a lot of these jobs could be six-figure jobs for kids right out of high school if they've got the right training. The thing that stood out to me, I was trying to pull up the story from my Montana Talks website after we had Mike Rowe on the show, because Mike Rowe was in this room with, what, 30, 35 big-time CEOs, and I think
my name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.